former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. So much to unpack coming off of Monday Night Football yesterday. It sounds like we have a little technical difficulty with our guy, Michael, but we will hopefully get connected with him real quickly. We had this problem yesterday, too, so unfortunate way to get things going, especially off of such a wild result yesterday out there in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills fall inexplicably 24-22 to the Denver Broncos in what Bills head coach Sean McDermott probably termed it best, an inexcusable fashion with the way that things played out at the end of the game. It was certainly not the get right game many thought that it would be for Buffalo. And now less than 24 hours.
It's still bad.
Michael, you hear me now?
I got you. Sure do, Stormy. Welcome to Tuesday with audio problems, but we'll get through it. Don't you worry about that. We have less problems than here than the Buffalo Bills do. Clearly, that's the case.
Yeah, no question there. And Michael, what I was just about to get to is that this is the time of year when things, if they aren't going right for teams, heads start to roll. And less than 24 hours after that result last night, we see offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey for the Buffalo Bills out of the job.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly, and I wrote about it today for a column on VSiN, that, you know, this Bills offense doesn't really have an offense. I think they just run a bunch of plays, and Dorsey is going to take the heat for their inability to be as productive because everything is set up for the Bills around their offense of being able to get the lead. They rely so much on playing in front. They're an undersized defense. They're a defense that needs to rush the passer. They're a defense that needs to create turnovers. They cannot stand in the middle of the ring and fight punch for punch with anybody. They're very average on their talent level on defense. And so they have to start from fast. And then over the last few six games, of which they're 2-4, they have not been able to do that. And so Dorsey pays a price for the structural damage that has been created by the Bills in their pursuit of a Super Bowl. Everything's about Kansas City. We're going to build a defense around stopping Kansas City. Small, fast, athletic. They were actually, think about this, Stormy, they were in dime defense last night. They were in their dime defense last night when Russell Wilson was kneeling the ball down to put the ball in position to kick the field goal. They were in their dime, and they took their dime off to put their field goal block in, and that's when they got 12. That's what they think of. They just want to be a sub-defense. And if your offense isn't trying to get scoring points and getting the lead, they're in trouble.
So, Michael, let's go through that. Obviously, what transpired there on the final drive and the final play, the field goal attempt, the 12 men on the field. Like, you talk about them being in the dime defense and then subbing in that fire drill change over. Like, why is that even something that would be in the realm of possibility? How, when you have those ample opportunities and you know what Russell is doing, you know that they're going to kneel down to set up the field goal. That's what they're going to do. Everybody watching this game knows that's what's going to happen. How does that occur last night?
It occurs because you're not communicating. You're calling the defenses. Let's go back in time here, Stormy, right? Sean McDermott really wanted to call the defense. It's why Leslie Frazier isn't there. The health reasons that were given are really not relevant. Leslie Frazier wanted to be the play caller. When that didn't occur, then he said, adios, but you're going to pay me. And they said, okay, we'll pay you, but Sean's taking over the defense. Okay, great. So you're calling the defense. You're worried about what the call is as opposed to, okay, you walk over to your special teams coach. Make sure you got your 11 guys here. They're going to go quick on this. Let's make sure we get our block team out there. We're going to need to block it. And there's a disconnect. And this is what happens. And look, here's the reality. The Dorsey thing is really just we're going to blame him for Josh Allen leading the league in interceptions since 2018. We're going to blame him for Josh Allen fumbling the ball more than any player since 2018. The reality of it is the last three playoff games, this defense has given up an average of 33 points per game. Per game. I've been singing this song forever. They are not a great team. They've got a great PR campaign. The media thinks they're this incredible team. But they lose Milano. They lose Daquan Jones. But they got Von Miller. But you couldn't feel Von Miller last night. Not the same player. They can't cover anybody. Can't cover anybody. I know they lost Tre'Davious White, but he wasn't covering anybody either. They're not a good – they have to win with their offense. And because of that, Dorsey's paying the price.
And because you say they have to win with their offense, when their quarterback turns the ball over, it's impossible to do because they aren't able to overcompensate for those issues, right? Like we talk about all the time, him wearing the Superman cape and that – recklessness at times is what causes them problems. I mean, last night you said going into the game, the one thing that they can't do is Josh Allen turning over the football because they need him. They need him to be as good as humanly possible. He has two interceptions. He gets the ball on the ground. James Cook with the turnover on the first play of the game. So then he gets benched early on. But Buffalo has 18 turnovers this season, Michael, tied with the Bears and Raiders for second most in the NFL. Six straight games now without winning the turnover battle. And Allen has at least one interception in each one of those games.
Buffalo gets the ball with 45 seconds left to go. They're down at halftime. They're down 12-8. Okay. They get the ball with 45 seconds left. They do not have any timeouts. They do not have any timeouts. Now, who made the decision that we're going to throw it on first and 10? Who made the decision to be aggressive? Who decided that we're going to try to move the ball 70 yards and get a touchdown when we haven't really moved the ball much of the first half? The head coach did. And then the quarterback compounds it by throwing an interception. So then they give away 3 points. But here's the part that's really interesting. They had a chance to practice their hurry up, put your field goal team out on the field in the first half. Because when they kicked the field goal, the Broncos had to put their field goal team on the field. They didn't have any timeouts. And they had to rush their team out there. So they actually had practice for it. But look, here's the reality of what's been happening in Buffalo. Allen is really a good player. And they deserve all the credit in the world for having Allen. However, he has hidden some of their flaws. And he makes up for their flaws. Like the touchdown pass or the touchdown run he has to go up by a point. I mean, he makes that play. The design of the play wasn't there. But he made the play. And because he makes plays, he hides all the faults within the team. But when you get into a playoff situation where the defense is going to have to stand in the middle of the ring and go punch for punch, they ain't good enough. They weren't good enough last year against Cincy. They got beat 27-10. They weren't good enough when they played other teams in the playoffs. They gave up 42 to Kansas. I mean, this has been going on for a while. Hell, even the Miami Dolphins with a backup, a third-string quarterback, scored 31 on them last year.
Michael, you say they're not good enough. Head coach Sean McDermott agrees. Here's what he had to say after the game.
I don't think everything we're doing is wrong. There was some good football being played and some good football being coached. That said, it needs to be better. And you can't turn the ball over and you can't start by giving the team their starting field position at the minus 40-yard line. That's not how you win in this league. So we've got to play better and move the football, score points on a more consistent basis. And then the special teams piece has to factor in as far as field position and covering kicks, covering punts. And certainly I'm not turning a blind eye to the defense. There's things we can do better there as well.
And Michael, pushing this forward, Josh Allen after the game also said, you know, he understands the clock is ticking and there is a sense of urgency. They're 5-5 right now. Other teams that are 5-5, the Raiders and Colts, you know, that's not how we associate mentally the Buffalo Bills, right? And now for the first time all season long, they're favored to miss the playoffs. It is a minus 250 price for this Buffalo Bills team to miss the playoffs this year. Their season win total ticked down from 8.5 going into the game to 9.5. And as far as their expectations moving forward, Michael, we see them 2-4 the last six games. They haven't covered a single spread in that time. What's your expectations moving forward this season? Because the schedule is challenging for Buffalo.
Well, and I wrote about it. I mean, this is the first time since the 70s that they have not covered a spread in six games in a row. I mean, think about that, Stormy. They haven't covered a spread in six games in a row. I mean, they're reaching new they failed to cover for the sixth straight time last night, which is the most since Allen came to Buffalo. And as a franchise, the Bills have not covered five games in a row since 76. So now they've just set a record past 76. I've got to go to bet to look online to see how that was. So they're clearly struggling in all areas. I mean, look, they have allowed. Here's the thing, and I've been harping about this. They're built on playing from in front. They are built from playing from in front. They have allowed 78 first half since they went to London. They've allowed 78 first half points. They've only scored 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my favorite paragraphs that you had in the article, Michael, is that they're never looking to establish any aspect of their offense. They run plays, not a system, and essentially all they want is to establish a lead at halftime. I think that is a very, very telling part of what we've seen from the Buffalo Bills. And
that's who they are. Yeah. And when he makes plays, Stormy, they look great. And everybody, we all go, oh my God, he's great. But when he doesn't make plays, oh boy.
Yeah, and you look at the five losses that the Buffalo Bills do have this season, they are all one possession losses. And Josh Allen has had at least one interception in all five of those games. So just something to take into account. We can do the entire show probably breaking down the Buffalo Bills in this game, but we'll revisit a little bit later on in the hour. We have some quarterback news in the NFL looking ahead to week 11 that we need to get to and a whole lot more. Stay with us. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21 and older. And speaking of low, how about death, taxes, and primetime unders, Michael? One thing we did not get to mention there in that opening block talking about Monday Night Football. Another primetime under comes through yesterday.
Yeah, never a doubt either. I mean, never a doubt. You could just tell the way Sean Payton was calling the game. He was only interested in getting the game to the fourth quarter. He was only interested in making sure that he had an opportunity to not let Russell Wilson beat them. And look, I think what's lost in conversation here is they called a zero blitz in the second down play before the pass interference, and it got the sack. Wilson takes a horrible sack and knocks him out of field goal range. They line up in the next play and do the same thing over again, and that's when the pass interference calls. They shouldn't have blitzed the second time. Yep. And it kind of caught them off guard. And look, they walk out of there with a lot of different reasons why they lost.
Yep, that defensive pass interference on Jerry Jeudy gives him 28 yards and sets him up in prime position there to kick the field goal. And unfortunately, there with the it looks like Michael probably can't hear us again. Hopefully, Michael, I'm sorry. I hate that this keeps happening to us. But as far as the way that things played out again yesterday, as it pertains to that final drive, just a lot of frustration all over the place. And what still was really weird for me unpacking it all was that nobody on the sideline was up in arms and even recognized that there were 12 men on the field until it was officially called. But as far as the unders go, the three night games in week 10 all end up going under, pushing us to 25-7 on the season to the under, 14-1 to the under since week 6 in those primetime games. So it has been a cash cow from that standpoint. And we didn't give Denver a whole lot of love because we were so focused in on the Buffalo Bills and obviously Ken Dorsey being let go, removed of his duties as offensive coordinator today, which quarterbacks coach Joe Brady, by the way, will be stepping in the interim from that standpoint. But for the Broncos, it's their second game now where they have won outright as a touchdown or more underdog. They've won three straight games for the first time since the 2021 season when they opened up the year 3-0, and their defense is improving a lot. They're allowing just 16.8 points per game the last 4 weeks. That's against the Bills, the Packers, and two games against the Chiefs. And over the last 3 weeks, it's actually even lower, fewest points per game allowed in the league, and they have the second most takeaways in that time with 10 compared to when you looked at the first 6 weeks of the season. They're allowing 33 points per game and got a 70 spot thrown up on them at Miami. And that's what we all look over to. And just six total takeaways in that spot compared to the last 10 that I just referenced. So a lot of things moving in a positive direction for the Broncos, who, like I said, won three straight and now 4-5 on the season. The Bills, meanwhile, 5-5. And hopefully, again, we can get reconnected with Michael. I hate that we're having to deal with this morning. We've just had a lot of technical issues recently. But hey, at least Marcus Freeman's off the hook now. He's not the only guy that puts 12 men on the field in a game ceiling situation that goes wrong. We do have some other news and notes around the National Football League to get to. We saw that head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, said that he expects Matthew Stafford to play in Week 11 against the Seattle Seahawks. According to McVay, Stafford was able to throw the ball in individual drills. He showed enough to convince him that he'll be ready to go by the end of the week. We remember, of course, the Rams were on a bye this past week, but the week prior, he was not out there on the field in the 20-3 loss to the Green Bay Packers on November 5th, had a strained ligament in his thumb, but he's had the bye week to heal up. Michael, glad that we have you with us now. I was just saying, Matthew Stafford, he looks like he'll be good to go this week after the bye.
Yeah, and we saw the line really move this morning. You know, it kind of went very quickly, and so you could say he's definitely going to play.
Yep. I'm sorry about this, everybody. But yeah, it looks like he's going to play. He was, like I said, dealing with a torn ligament in his thumb. The Rams opened up a 3-point dog in this game initially. Now we see them just as a 1-point spread hosting the Seahawks. The total also has gone up from 45.5 to 46 with this development. And these two did play earlier this season as well. Rams beat Seattle week one, 30-13. They were a much healthier bunch overall that game. Seattle fresh off a narrow 29-26 win over the Washington Commanders this past week. Another game that was up and down. They're still tied atop the division with the San Francisco 49ers right now. So this is going to be a pretty important game in the NFC West when things get out there. But for Matthew Stafford, I think obviously a really, really important development for him to be okay and for him to get back out there on the field. Hopefully the offensive line can protect him a little bit dealing with this issue. You want to be able to have a good grip on the football and have protection from the guys in front of you. You there, Michael?
I got you, Stormy. Yes, I sure do. How are you? You better?
All right.
You're doing a hell of a job, I can tell you that. I mean, you're like the greatest point guard ever. You're just carrying the team. We need you to score, you score. You need to dish, you dish. You're doing great.
Appreciate
you. I don't
know
why you even need me here, Stormy.
Stop.
You could just keep going.
Just going to talk to
you
myself.
You could just keep going. It's no problem.
Don't do this, but okay, we're excited. Matt Stafford's going to be back out there for the Rams. Go, Michael.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you going to play the Rams? Look, here's what I would say, and it's very tempting, right? Seattle played really well last week offensively against a very bad Washington defense. Okay, we know that. But Geno Smith played well. They kind of got their stuff going last week. The Rams, like opening day, this will be the healthiest the Rams will be all year again. They've had the week off. Their offensive line's back intact, kind of like it was when they went up to Seattle in one opening day. And Stafford should be healthy. So this is kind of a tempting thing. You could see why now this game has become almost a pick 'em game, you know, where people are going to invest in the Rams. Because if you're going to play the Rams, if you want to play the Rams, the next 2 weeks are the only time to play them. Because once the injuries start, they go from being a good team to being a bad team.
Yeah, you talk about the offensive line getting healthier. McVay also saying that they expect to get right tackle Rob Havenstein back and starting inside linebacker on the other side, Ernest Jones back against Seattle. So important developments there. Plus, if Matt Stafford does get injured again, Carson Wentz now the backup with Brett Rypien out of the picture, Michael.
There you go. Why not?
Let's go to another quarterback situation.
I mean, maybe if he's healthy, he could fill in for me when I can't hear. It's perfect.
Put him in, coach. Let's go to another quarterback situation that we discussed a little bit yesterday and step into my office, Michael, but the Patriots might be on the bye and people are still talking about it anyways. Bill Belichick was asked earlier this morning if Mac Jones is going to be his starter moving forward. And his response was they're going to look at everything in hopes of improving this offense. Quote, we have a lot of things to work on as a team. We'll work through those. That's what we're going to do this week. He was also asked if he has confidence in Jones. And he said he has confidence in all the players that are on the team. So hard to read between those lines, Michael. Who do you think will be the starting
really
quarterback?
When you watch the all 22 of the game, it's kind of hard to think he can put Jones back out there. I mean, really, it's a touchdown pass. It's literally a touchdown pass that any quarterback could throw to Gesicki. Instead, he throws it 8 yards short. I don't know how you could put him back there. You know, the third down in the red zone, they're running a curl concept, a comeback concept, 5-step, bang it out, holds the ball, sack. He has played so much. His eye level is so down right now that I don't know how you could put him back on the field. He sees everything that the line's doing and nothing what the receivers are doing. And when that happens to a quarterback, you got to back him out. Now, can he get it back? Maybe, sure. But right now he's gotten hit way too much, doesn't trust his line, doesn't trust his arm, doesn't trust anything. And so you're going to have to figure something out. Is Bailey Zappe the – no, Bailey Zappe's not. I mean, Bailey Zappe was blaming people after the game like it wasn't his fault, right? I think it's either going to be Will Greer or what else do they do?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask
you. What else do they do?
Is when they come back from the bye at the New York Giants, like who do you think is the guy that Bill Belichick puts out there first?
I think whoever – you know, one thing they'll do is I think they're practicing today. They'll take the next 2 or 3 days to really go over it. But when you go over it, for as bad as they appear offensively, in that game against the Colts – they did a really good job of run blocking. They had receivers open because they're mostly a zone team, the Colts, and yet they couldn't get the ball to them in time. They couldn't put the ball in the end zone. That interception, once again, was one of those that you just shake your head and say, how is this possible? And then if you're Buffalo and you're blaming Ken Dorsey for the failures, right? Buffalo couldn't stop New England from scoring in the final minute of the game when everybody else has been able to do it.
It's we've definitely got some interesting situations on our hands this week. We've got a bit of a conundrum going on here, Michael. But with New England, like they have a lot of questions that are going to need answering and outside noise that's going to be difficult to block out here down the stretch.
No question. They're going to have to tighten the circle. There's no question. And, you know, the quarterbacks, they have to assume some responsibility. Zappe hasn't. I'm not sure Mac really has. He keeps saying he's got to play better. But when does that happen?
We'll be right back here on the Lombardi Line. Hopefully when we return, full audio throughout the entire segment. I think that we can do it. I'm excited about it, especially because it's time for No Way or No Doubt. And I can't just ask that question to myself, Michael. So we need you. We'll be right back.
I know. Keep playing point guard, Stormy.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check on the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for just $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubts. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, let's get into it. And one man whose press conferences always seem to give us something to talk about is Jets head coach Robert Saleh, who in his media availability, Michael, said that Zach Wilson is actually playing pretty good. No way or no doubt, Michael, Zach Wilson is playing pretty good?
Well, I mean, what is the standard of playing pretty good? I mean, you're supposed to win games if you're playing well, right? So my question would have been to Mr. Saleh, if he's playing so good, then how come we've lost 2 games in a row? If he's playing so good, how come we almost lost 3 in a row had the Giants not put Graham Gano on the field and we would have lost that game? Maybe perhaps it's your defense that isn't playing as well, the one that you say you kick everybody's butt even though you allow over, you know, you're 22nd in the league in yards per attempt and you're 31st in yards allowed rushing. I don't know. If it's not Zach, who is it then? Is it the offensive line? Is it the receivers? Like, that's a ridiculous thing. You can't say he's playing well. I think the answer is no one's playing well. Mm. You're 32nd on third down. 32nd. You're 32nd in the red zone on offense. Now, who's playing well at quarterback? Those are two numbers that really tell you the most you need to know about what the quarterback is doing with the football. Making good decisions on third down. You can go through it. I mean, when you go through what makes the Josh Allen situation so, so confusing is on first and 10, Josh Allen has thrown the most interceptions in his career, 19. On second and 10, he's thrown 17. But on third and 10, a down that's really challenging where you're really going to get into a lot of trouble, he hasn't thrown that many. He's thrown 7. So, like, if he's not converting third down, he's not putting the ball in the end zone, what is he doing good?
Well, Michael, and for Zach Wilson, like, I understand, like, a lot of the comments that Robert Saleh is getting at. He says he's better than he was last year. Well, I mean, not exactly a very high bar to clear, first and foremost, but and saying that the Nathaniel Hackett system was made for Aaron Rodgers and not for him. Like, that's just excuse after excuse after excuse.
Oh, that doesn't... did he say that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, can we put things in perspective? First of all, the Nathaniel Hackett offense goes back to his father, Paul, who I worked with in San Francisco starting in 1984. Paul Hackett's offense is the West Coast offense. It is the most friendliest quarterback offense in the history of professional football, started by the guy behind me, Bill Walsh. Okay? So, like, that offense is suited for a quarterback. It's a rhythm passing game that allows the quarterback to get rid of the ball and have options. Don't even try to insult my intelligence in saying Nathaniel's offense is for Aaron Rodgers. It's not. I mean, like, that's just really stupid. Like, that's really, really dumb. Every quarterback, Carson Wentz, every quarterback that plays within the system, it highlights their skill set. So the West Coast offense isn't what Zach wants to run, what is it that he's supposed to run? And why wouldn't Nathaniel change the offense to fit the quarterback? Like, isn't that what a coach is supposed to do?
One would think, Michael, I would prefer Robert Saleh just continue to plead the fifth than lie straight to all of our faces. Yeah, That's all that I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if he was a mafia boss and he just say he was Santo Trafficante and his lawyer would be going crazy. He would put his hand over the mic constantly like, shut up. You're going to jail for 50 years. You're probably going to go to jail for 200 years. You keep talking.
So good. Zach Wilson, 1 touchdown in the last 5 days. Jets do not plan on making a quarterback change. Another team not making a quarterback change, Michael. The New Orleans Saints head coach Dennis Allen saying Derek Carr remains in concussion protocol, but his right shoulder checked out and that they're not considering a move at quarterback. When he gets healthy, he will be the starter. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Saints might be in better hands with Jameis Winston at quarterback. What do you think?
No doubt. I think the players love Winston. Now, look, Winston's, you know, you're too young to remember. There was a pitcher in baseball named Phil Niekro. He was a knuckleballer. He used to win 20 games, he'd lose 20, right? You know, he could win and lose. Winston's kind of like Phil Niekro. He can win you 20, he could lose you 20. He could throw 3 interceptions, and he could throw 3 touchdowns. But what Winston does have, different than Carr, is he's got leadership skills. The players buy into him. Now, what Carr has is the guaranteed contract. Winston doesn't have that, right? Winston doesn't have that. But if you ask that locker room, who's the guy that's going to win for us at the end, I think it'll be Winston. I think it'll be Winston. But I don't think they can afford that based on signing him to this contract. And I would love to know, like, who was their competition to pay him $40 million? I mean, you know, we talk about third down, right? I just got done ripping Zach Wilson and Saleh for being bad. I mean, Carr's 22nd in the league on third down. He's 24th in the red zone. Tell me when he makes a play that's not a check down. He's at 6.7 yards per attempt this year. I mean, that's what the only guy that could get him to throw it up the field a little bit more was Gruden. That was it. Everything else, check down Charlie.
Yep, that is the perfect nickname to use. A four-year, $150 million deal, $100 mil in guaranteed money for ye old Derek Carr. Let's go to his former team, Michael, because now we've seen Antonio Pierce and the Raiders reel off back-to-back wins. No way or no doubt that the Raiders will continue to win and eventually remove that interim label for Coach Pierce.
Well, no doubt they'll remove the interim label. Winning, there's no way they're going to keep winning. Now, will they get to eight wins? They could. They're playing hard. And if they get the running game going and they reduce the game, when they play this week against a Miami team that's better on defense with a really good front, they're going to have a tough time. But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't preclude what he's been able to do. You can feel the traction coming. And I don't think that Mark Davis is going to be like David Tepper and ignore what he has done to this team as they move forward. So no doubt, I believe Pierce will be the head coach. If he wins in Miami, he might get the extension right now.
Yeah, that would be that. Yeah, that would be a big one. Let's keep on the coaching theme, though. No way or no doubt, Michael, for the Los Angeles Chargers, they are the team most in need of a head coaching change.
Well, I mean, we've been saying that for 2 years, right? If you're if your specialty is defense, and you can't stop anybody, especially a good quarterback, then I don't know what are we doing. I mean, you fired Joe Lombardi. This is a little bit like Sean McDermott. You know, you can fire Ken Dorsey today. Are you going to be accountable for what's going on defense? You know, are you going to be accountable? Or are you just constantly going to hide behind the offense? And it's the same thing with Staley. I mean, I call him John Gotti because he's the Teflon head coach. He's John Gotti Staley. Nobody can get him. I mean, nobody can get him. It's like he absolves himself of everything. I mean, look, no one's talking about him being on the hot seat, but the guy's won 6 Super Bowls. He's on the hot seat. There's no question. We definitely put Belichick on the hot seat. Why wouldn't we?
Another guy, I mean, Michael
Staley.
Another guy who's not on the hot seat, according to The Athletic, is our guy Arthur Smith. He's got supportive ownership. He's unlikely to be fired.
Why would you? You know, the one thing I've learned doing this for 5 years, Stormy, is the every week you look at these coaches' numbers straight up and against the spread. Now, you know, Mike Shanahan was never great against the spread, but sometimes they're fairly telling. I don't always agree. Like, I think the betting community's too hard on Mike McCarthy. I think the betting community was probably too hard on Pete Carroll. But there is some truth to being able to win games. I mean, Arthur goes in there. He's playing Arizona. He throws it 21 times. Like, they can't rush, and they can't make any plays in the back end. And if you spend all these draft picks on receivers, you're not going to get them the ball?
Okay, I'm going to hit you with one more. We've got 60 seconds left here in the segment. All right. No way or no doubt, the Lions won't lose another regular season game. The remaining schedule, Chicago, Green Bay, the Saints, Chicago again, Denver, Minnesota, Dallas, Minnesota.
No way. They'll lose another game, and they may do it on purpose just because they want to keep their people healthy. But they're a good team. Look, the one area, and let's not forget this, remind each other of this as we go forward. When they play a good quarterback, they're going to struggle to cover.
That's an interesting point. I feel like the Lions are just really, really good. And you wonder if their defense is going to be able to have enough in the back end of the schedule, because they do play a couple. I mean, obviously, you have to play the Vikings twice, the Cowboys, who can light it up. I wonder if their defense will hold up. But they've been really, really fun this season, and I certainly hope that they can keep it up the back end of the year. We've got to take a quick break here on the Lombardi Line, but we'll be right back. Stay with us on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VEGAS, that's V-E-G-A-S. The crown is yours. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And oftentimes on the show, Michael, we do a segment called Different Game or More of the Same. And I feel like this one is going to have a similar vibe because we have a ton of divisional rematches coming up this week. And I'm curious your thoughts if history is going to repeat itself or if we're going to have a change of events here. And no better place to start than a critical Thursday night football game in the AFC North with the Ravens hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, two teams that are coming off of tough losses, Michael. But in round one, week two, the Ravens beat Cincinnati 27-24. But Cincinnati's a little bit of a different team now, though, with Joe Burrow. So what do you think?
Well, they are a different team with Joe Burrow. He's playing at a high, high level right now. But he doesn't have T. Higgins. He won't dress for the game. And Baltimore has a ton of injuries on. Is Marlon Humphreys going to play? Is Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle, going to play? Look, anytime you get this kind of game, it's always a three-point game one way or the other. You know, I'm glad it's Thursday so you don't have to think about it. You know, you can give out okay, I kind of like it here, but you don't have to make a play for it. I think it's be more of the same. I really do. This is always the case. And look, Cincinnati, they have no margin for error. I mean, that seventh seed right now is up for grabs. And you got Buffalo, they're at the 10th seed right now, trying to fight their way into the race. And the same thing with Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati losing to Houston at home could cost them the seventh seed overall. I think more of the same. I think it goes down to the final seconds and a field goal.
Well, and Michael, it's perfect that you say you think it's going to be a field goal game because oddsmakers must have had that in their mind as well with the spread sitting there, Ravens favored by 3.5, the total 46. And if you do think the Ravens come out on top once again, it's interesting looking at some of the numbers for Lamar Jackson against this Cincinnati team in his career. 7-1 against the Bengals, Michael, 12 passing touchdowns. He averages 75 rushing yards per game as well. And like, he's had really, really strong showings against Cincinnati.
And Cincy on defense the last 3 weeks have not been good. Now, Buffalo didn't move the ball on them, but, you know, Buffalo doesn't force them to – you don't – with Buffalo, they run it just to kind of keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands for a little while. I mean, last night they could have put doubt that they could have put Cook in the game more. You know, I know he fumbled and missed the first quarter, but, I mean, he was running with some real velocity, and they just got away from it. They didn't – James Cook, they got away from it. They didn't really feel it. Baltimore will. When Baltimore can run the ball, they couldn't last week. They had the 39-yard Williams run for a touchdown, but other than that, they couldn't. When they run, they're a problem. And since he's run defense, over 5 yards a carry, Stormy.
Yeah, and that's – yes. We'll keep it in the AFC North for this next one. The team that just beat the Ravens, Michael, the Cleveland Browns, are facing off with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. This is a Steelers team who, despite being outgained in every single game this season, Michael, is 6-3 on the year. And they got the better of Cleveland in round one, 26-22.
I don't think this is going to be more of the same. I think the Browns are going to be angry. And I think the Browns can't believe they lost that game. I mean, they give up the 71-yard pass. Watson turns the ball. There's 14 points given to him right there, you know. And so if they eliminate those two big – one big play and then the one turnover, you know, this Browns team can really control the game defensively. Because here's what we know about the Steelers. When they can't run the ball effectively and they put – you put the ball in Pickett's hands, it's a problem. It's going to be a problem. They won't protect well enough. Garrett will create some issues. Look, I love everything about this, and everybody's going to jump all over Mike Tomlin as a dog, you know. And we saw that when the Jacksonville Jaguars came into Pittsburgh and won 20-10. You know, I mean, it's hard for them, Pittsburgh, I mean, to go against a good front. I don't think it'll be more of the same. I think the Browns, assuming Watson's healthy and he plays just like he did last week, nothing more, nothing less, I think they win.
If he can play any semblance of the way that he did in the second half moving forward this season, like, the Browns could be a contender in the AFC. They could, like, it. I view them as a completely different team if Deshaun Watson is playing like vintage Deshaun Watson, because we know he still has the top overall right defense backing him up on the other side. For Pittsburgh, Michael, I was really disappointed last week watching them make the Packers offense look good. Like, Jordan Love, we've seen time and time again, is not a great quarterback in the National Football League right now, and they made him look good.
Yeah, they did. And look, and they had a chance to win the game at the end if Love could make a couple more throws. I mean, Love's under 57% completion percentage. What's going to happen when they get a quarterback who can throw the ball accurately against them? Look, credit Pittsburgh. They are resilient. They fight you tooth and nail. But they couldn't move the ball on Jacksonville. Why? Because Jacksonville limited their run game. Cleveland will make it very challenging for them to run the ball. It's hard to beat teams twice in the same year. It really is, especially a team as good defensively as the Cleveland Browns are.
Okay, we know that the Buffalo Bills be struggling, especially after what we witnessed last night. They are laying nearly a touchdown against the Jets in the rematch, who, by the way, New York, we remember, won this game week one when Aaron Rodgers went out. Zach Wilson ended up closing this thing out in overtime, 22-16, a Jets win to begin the season. Josh Allen had three interceptions that game and a lost fumble coming off the turnover fest yesterday. Different game or more of the same in the rematch?
You know, I think it's going to be more of the same. And I think the reason I do think this is because the Jets' defensive front, it sets up perfectly for them. If Buffalo wanted to run the ball and be a little bit more multiple in their play calling, I would say it's going to be a problem. Because if they can get to 14, how do the Jets score 14? But Buffalo has a hard time playing run defense. So the Jets should be able to run the ball. And then we know this. The Buffalo, if they go against a good pass rush like the Jets, this offensive line kind of gets away with it because of Allen's, you can't get him on the ground. You know, I mean, I'm surprised the line is, it opened at 7, it's down to 6.5. I think if you like the Jets, you better take the 6.5 now. I think it's going to trend to down to 7. Now, we have it at 7, but there's a lot of 6.5s out there as well.
Yeah, we'll see if that is the way that this thing continues to go. The Jets, by the way, the number 3 pass defense in the NFL right now, and a number of takeaways that they have been able to secure. 15 this year, 9 of them interceptions. How about in the NFC West? We mentioned this game a little bit earlier with Matt Stafford and his thumb injury, that he's expected to be back against Seattle. But when they played earlier this season, another week one matchup, the Rams were able to get it done 30-13 when they were healthy. They're the healthiest they've been since this game earlier. You think different game or more of the same?
I think more of the same. I don't think the Rams are going to dominate 30-13. I like the Rams in the opening of this game. People thought I was crazy, but that's the healthiest the Rams were going to be, and Stafford's really good when he is healthy. But for me, you know, I think that the Seattle team has their offensive lines better right now, and I think that they can move the football on the Rams. The Rams are good, but I do think Seattle can move the ball on them. Because the Rams are healthy. Once the Rams start to get into the game, then it becomes a problem. And they could put some pressure on Stafford. I think that's going to be the key. But I think this is a close game. And I don't think it's going to be decided until late in the fourth quarter.
Remember, that was the first time we saw Puka Nacua, and he had over 100 yards. And everybody was like, oh, it's probably just a fluke, you know, giving the rookie an opportunity. Clearly, it was not. One more we can hit right here. The Giants in Washington taking on the Commanders. And we all just witnessed the Tommy DeVito show and what happened against the Dallas Cowboys this past weekend. In round one, New York actually got the better of the Commanders, 14-7. What do you think in the rematch?
Well, the first game was Tyrod Taylor, so it's not going to be more of the same. You got Tommy DeVito. You got Tommy DeVito coming to down. I mean, it ain't going to be more of the same. And I got to think that their team is kind of really, at the end of the day, I think the Giants are a wounded team. I think, to me, it's hard for them to believe that they have a chance to win without the quarterback. It's the same thing the Jets go through. Like, they don't trust the quarterback to make enough plays. How many points, even as bad as Washington is, how many points do you think DeVito can lead them on? Even if they run Barkley, 10, 13?
They're,
I mean,
yeah,
can the Giants defense hold anybody to under 20? You can't trust it. I mean, everybody would be – I mean, how are the Washington Commanders 10 points better than anybody? I mean, I'm not sure they'd be 10 points better than Georgia.
Oh, Michael, that's bad. But it is. It's a brutal situation for the New York Giants right now, and it's funny.
I mean, it's true. It's true. You think they're 10 points better than Georgia?
I would pay so much money to see that game on the football field. But, Michael, I'm looking at the numbers from that earlier season matchup with the Giants and Commanders. Not only was it Tyrod Taylor, he was on the field, and Darren Waller was the top pass catcher that game. So two guys unavailable for the New York Giants the rest of the way here. So we're going to step aside. While we did all these divisional rematches, tomorrow we're going to dive fully into the Super Bowl rematch. Eagles-Chiefs going head-to-head this coming week on primetime Monday Night Football. But when we come back, we got to recap last night once again in Monday Night. Push it forward a little bit, what we think about the Broncos and Bills.